This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus told me so. I looked down at them feet, and I said, "You devil of hell, you foul spirit of infirmity, you come out of me in the name of Jesus, and you go to the pit, and don't you ever come back in me in again, ever, in Jesus' name." And from that day to this, which has been, goodness, at least 20 years ago, I have never, ever had another attack of athlete's foot. Never. But I had it and couldn't get rid of it for 30-plus years. A spirit? Yeah, that's what it was. How much authority do we as Christians have over spirits?
All.
It is written in Luke 10, 19, and 20. All power is given to you. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and they shall in no wise hurt you. Nevertheless, rejoice not in this, that those evil spirits have to be subject to you, but rather be thankful that your name is written in heaven. When that scripture becomes a revelation to you, how much power under the new covenant do you and I have over the spirits? All. Now then, what if you're not willing to walk in obedience to God's word? What if you're not willing to be an obedient child? Then they have power over you. And they will beat up on you. But as long as you're walking in obedience to the word, just like the example I've given many times, you today, tonight, when you get ready to leave here, you start to leave and you get out there on the highway and you start down the road, as long as your car is registered and it's current, and your inspection sticker is current, and you got current insurance and a current driver's license, and you drive within the confines of the speed limit, you don't have to worry about a thing going home. But if you get in a hurry leaving here tonight and say, "Well, I need to get home in a hurry, and I know the speed limit out there is 60 on the freeway, but I'm going to drive 80. You may get stopped before you get home. So if you break God's spiritual laws, I can guarantee you a demon will come to your house. And he will put something on you, pain or sickness and disease. It's just a fact of life. But if you're walking in obedience, you go back to the old covenant and you think about the old covenant, he said he would take sickness and disease away from all of us. And we would have none if we'd walk in obedience to his word. But under the new covenant, he tells us to go out and heal the sick. And we can't stay healed ourselves. Isn't that amazing? That the church is supposed to be out healing the sick, and we can't stay healed ourselves. And then many of us, even as pastors, don't believe Jesus even heals today. But Jesus told you, under the new covenant, I give you this power. You go lay your hands on the sick and heal them in my name. Think about this. I got one more little place I want to go tonight before I continue. I'm not going to continue on any further in Hebrews 11 because it's such an intensive study of what faith is. But again, I want to take you back to the book of John. And these scriptures I'm going to show you, I want you to think about these. And I want you to see if they mean the same thing to you that they mean to me. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 21. Think about what he said. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." This was the first step, the very first step of them receiving the Holy Spirit. But there was no power yet. No power. But if Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, and then look what the next verse says. First of all, before we go to the next verse, go back up. Peace be unto you, verse 21, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. As my Father has sent me. What did the Father send Jesus to do? Think about it. What did the Father send Jesus to do? Name a few things.
Preach, teach, and heal.
Preach the gospel, right?
Preach, teach, and heal.
And what? And to heal?
Teach.
And teach the Word of God? And heal? And what else?
Raise the dead.
Cleanse the lepers.
Cast out devils.
Forgive sin. All those things. He sent him to do all those things. So he said, now I'm going to send you to do the same thing. And then after he breathed on them, told them to receive the Holy Spirit, look what he said in verse 23. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. What does that say to you? What does that verse say to you? As a Christian, walking in obedience to God's Word, you walk up to a hospital room, and a man is laying there and he's comatose. It's too far gone for him to repent. So who can repent for him? Who can?
You
can, if you believe the Word.
Daniel did.
That's all. It's almost more than you can grasp, isn't it? That he put that kind of power on us. The thing about it is, when we as Christians get together to pray over somebody, we know that sin brings forth death. So if two or three or four of us get together to pray over someone, technically speaking, what is the first thing we should do? We should quote this verse in John 20 and say, Lord, we forgive their sins. Since Christ is in us and you sent us to do the same thing that you did and you forgave their sins, you said you were a son of God, you had power on earth to forgive sins. Now then you told us to die to self and let you live through us. So, Father, we forgive their sins because Christ is in us, the hope of glory. So we forgive their sins. You said they're forgiven. Is that what that said? So if we forgive their sins and then pray the prayer of faith over them, the chances are a whole lot better that person's going to get well. Then you should ask the Father in the name of Jesus to send the Holy Spirit to begin to convict that person. Bring that person into a walk with God. Because if that person was out of a walk with God, and you get their sins remitted, and you get them healed, and they don't understand what brought them there in the first place, they're going to be right back in that place again in a short period of time. But if you'll teach them that sin is what brings forth sickness and disease, and they have to start serving God. That's just like I was talking to a lady, and she says, I have migraine headaches. I said, okay, let me ask you the first question. Are you married? Yes. I said, does your husband serve God? She said, well, not really. I said, do you go to church? Not very much. I said, let me tell you why you've got a headache. Are you a Christian? She said, well, yes, I am a Christian. Now then, if you are a Christian and you're not going to church, is there a scripture in the Word of God where the King told us to go to church? Huh? Absolutely. Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together on a regular basis as the manner of some are. So are Christians supposed to be in church regularly? Are they supposed to be gathering together with other believers and learning and worshiping and praising God? Yes. Now what if we don't do that? If we don't come to church, we don't open the Word of God every day, which this woman said she didn't, If she's not opening the Word, she's not worshiping God, then whose world is she walking in? God's or the devil's? The devil's, of course. And the devil, what does the devil come to do? That's pretty clear, isn't it, Michael? Steal, kill, and to destroy. Does migraine headache sound a little bit like stealing, killing, and destroying? It does. So, if it's doing that to you, then don't you think that if we were to repent and say, Lord, I want to serve you, I want to please you, do you think that pleases the King? Then you say, Lord, I'm going to get into your Word, and I'm going to diligently seek who you are in the Word, and I'm going to worship and praise you. Now then, Lord, by faith, I am pleasing you because I'm in your Word, and I am diligently seeking you. Now, does that make the King happy? Yes, it does. And he said, if you will live in me, if my words abide in you, and you abide in me, then you can ask me what? Anything you want to, and I will do it for you. John 15:7. If John 15:7 makes that statement to you, then don't you think as Christians we ought to become obedient to the Word, dwell in the Word? And if we will dwell in the Word and He dwells in you, then He says, you can come and ask me for anything and I'll do it. So when you ask Him for something, don't limit yourself to little things. Ask Him for whatever you need. Whatever you need. I mean, in the course of the day, whatever your needs are. I mean, when you go to the grocery store, ladies, or men, some of you, men and women, buy groceries. When you go to the grocery store, walk in and say, Lord, I'm asking you to guide me today to the right areas where everything will be the right prices, where I get the most for my dollar. You know, I'm asking you to do that in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, thank you. It's done. And somebody, you walk in and say, what are you going to shop for? And they said, I'm led by the Holy Ghost. The Lord's going to guide me down these roads, and I'm going to find exactly what I want in Jesus' name. In fact, the other day I walked into a brand new, or not a brand new one, but it was a store brand new to me, and I needed to get some matzah and some grape juice for the communion that Sunday. And this store I'd never been in. The one I across the corner that I'd already bought it from, I knew where everything was in that store, but they closed. So this other one, I didn't know where it was. So I went in that morning and I said, Lord, I don't have any idea where the grape juice and the matzah is. But I said, Lord, will you show me? I said, thank you. I walked in and walked up to the first person. I said, where's the matzah? They said, what? I said, the matzah. They said, what is that? I said, that's okay. And I walked off. I said, could you tell me where the matzah is? What? I said, the matzah.
We have to stop right there. But if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.